Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we get going. We're going to read the first 14 verses. Just to give you the title of this message this morning, I am going to kind of hit majority of my message this morning is going to take a while to get to it. So I'm going to be talking about some events that have taken place in our country over the last 20 years. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. But if you want to have the title of this, it's History Will Define You. And hopefully you'll see this as we go through the book of 2 Peter chapter number 1. But let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful again that we are able to gather here this morning. God, I pray as you, as we begin to read your word this morning, I pray that you just use me to be a minister to the hearts of these people. God, my objective is to glorify you. My objective is to help us have a better walk with you. God, if I don't do these things this morning, I fail. So God, I pray that you just take over. I pray that your will be done. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Let's begin reading verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 14. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they may make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Let me go over this once again in case you missed this. But he, meaning you, who is a child of God, that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. What things are he talking about? From verses 5 through verse number 8. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. History will define you. Remember that phrase as we continue to go on in our lesson this morning. Back in 9/11 of 2001 is a day that will always be remembered for us Americans. That day of remembrance will be different in the minds of every American. It's a day that some will remember exactly what they were doing or what they were about to do. And if I was asking you to raise your hands, who can remember what they did that day? Everybody can probably put up their hands and say, I know exactly what I was doing that day. I know for a fact what I was doing. I was on my second day of orientation at the post office over in Omaha on the second floor going through videos with 30 other employees that day. I'll never forget the lady that came up and opened up the door and announced to us, said, hey, the World Trade Centers have been attacked by a plane. And just for our protection, we are going to lock this facility down, meaning you cannot leave this facility, you cannot leave this room for your protection. I remember that day very vividly because I was shut off from the outside world. Didn't have a cell phone with me. Wasn't able to get a hold of folks to see what was going on, to see how they're doing, to hear of their reactions. They brought the television in, turned that on for us, and just a few minutes after that, we begin to see the collapse of the tower. And that image is in my mind to this day. I'll never forget the rest of the day. As I got off work that day with the orientation, I came here and we were, Brother Steve James was here with us. I think we were going through a revival at that time. He was here with us. And Pastor had to pick up a piano that somebody was donating to the church. And I remember getting in the truck with Pastor and Brother James, going across town. I can see the house to this very day on 20th and 5th Ave, sitting on the south side of the street, green house, still sitting there today, same exact colors, nothing's really changed. That's how my mind works. And I remember getting into that house, carrying out piano with Brother James and Pastor, putting it in the truck. And as we came back to the church, I remember very specifically one thing that stood out in my mind, and that was the gas stations here on 25th. And I noticed all of the cars lined up for gas because they're afraid of a spike and they're afraid of being without gas for their needs. That day defined America. That day changed everybody's lives on how we do things from a daily basis. Airports were no longer our domain when we begin to walk in. If we dropped someone off the airport, we couldn't walk down with them to the terminal themselves. We had to say goodbye up at the top. Things changed in that day. And we can remember those things very vividly. Every single year, we see history will come back around, and as the day gets closer, they'll throw specials out to where you can see again what was taking place that day. Some woke up 15 minutes late, as I heard this story the other day, due to watching a Monday night football game. Woke up 15 minutes late, and he sees the World Trade Center collapse. And as he's shouting on the side of the streets, saying, I should have been there 15 minutes ago. Monday night football saved my life. That's what he was saying. Changed his destination. And that kept him from walking into the towers, from going out into eternity. It's a day that brought every American to tears. Without a doubt, as I'm saying these things, we're recounting those events that took place. And it grieves our hearts. And as we're brought to tears, we begin to ask many questions. Why? Why did this have to happen? Could this have been avoided? Who in their sick mind would do something of this nature? Who had so much hatred and who had so much bitterness in their life to where they would want to take out thousands of people into eternity, including themselves? Images still in my mind to this very day, seeing people jumping out of the tower just to get their death over with quicker, instead of sitting in the towers, panicking, being scared of being hit by flames, so they would jump out the window and they would plunge to their death. What a sad, sad day of history. History defines you. Some stories would include people such as this. making her way down from the 78th story in a panic, trying to get down as quickly as possible. And as soon as they walk out the building, seconds later, they would see the very tower that they came out of collapsed, gone. The people that they passed down the stairs or the elevators were gone into history. It was a day that also brought many Americans to realize their need for a God. I've never seen anything like this in history before in my lifetime. I know that there's been other occasions. I wasn't around for World War I or World War II. I wasn't around for those things. I can read through it in history, and I can see how things took place during that time. I can hear stories and how that brought people closer to God. I can read of stories how it brought people closer to each other. But I wasn't around for those things. I was around for this. And so you saw a great need for God during that time. You would see our senators, you would see our congressmen, you would see even our president, you would see people off the streets that you have no idea who they were. You would even see it on television, where people would gather around and they would begin to pray to an almighty God. Not only would they pray to an almighty God, but they would begin to sing glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I'll never forget that vision in my mind as I saw our elected officials doing that very thing. A day that defined Americans and its greatness, and a great unity like no other was formed. It's a day I'll never, ever forget, and many of us in here won't either. There are some things that we would like to forget. I understand those things. As I continue to go on, it was a day where churches were being filled. Church attendance rose, I believe, between 25 to 50% in attendance, meaning people who didn't go to church before the tower attacks began to go to church after that. So they began to fill up, and people, once again, were not ashamed for going. Because fear crept into the lives of every individual that day. I'll be honest with you, I was scared. I'm not going to lie to you. What's going to happen next? Where's it going to hit at next? What college stadium are they going to attack? What pro stadium are they going to attack? Those are things that went into my mind. History that day defined Americans. I'm going to fast forward 20 years. 20 years has defined us once again. But it has taken a different turn from the past experience that we all went through 20 years ago. It's a totally different outcome, totally different thought process. It is so different than what it was. Today, 20 years ago, before I go on, we were united, not only as Americans, but we were united as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We were united. Today, we are no longer united. There is a great division that has taken place against each other. Neighbor against neighbor. Co-worker against co-worker. Family against family. And now, instead of being driven to church for fear, people have been driven away. History has taken a turn. Government is no longer working for the people, but they are rather working against the people. a government that sang praises to God and prayed to him on the steps of the Capitol building that day are now distancing themselves away from God Almighty. I don't want to have nothing to do with him. And in return, so are many thousands, if not millions, of Americans are doing the same thing. Again, history has defined Americans. Can we rise above, and should we rise above? Absolutely, yes. But we can only rise above with the help of Almighty God. Without him, we fail, and we fail miserably. History defines us. Not only does history define Americans, but history defines us as believers. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper than what we've been going with. History defines us as believers. And here in 2 Peter, we've seen how this takes place. Here, Peter describes in great detail on how a believer is to live the life of a believer. Let's begin reading again in verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. As a believer, you and I are servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter recognizes that very thing. Often we have failed in this area of living. I'm going to give you the answer and the reason why we fail in this type of a living. And I'm not talking about just a certain group of people. I'm talking about everybody. I'm including myself in this area. And here's the reason why we fail in this area of living, because we don't look to God's word for direction. If I was to ask for a raise of hands this morning, how many folks have read their Bible this week? We might not have everybody raise their hands. And so I won't do that to embarrass people. But we don't look to God's word for direction. This is our blueprint. This shows us how we are to live our life. This shows us how we are to act and behave as believers. And these are the very instructions that we need to live by. Peter comes to the knowledge that he is a servant to and a servant for Jesus Christ. Through this admission, he sees that he has a certain standard that he needs to live by. If he's able to see that, you and I should be able to see that we have a certain standard too that we are to live by. History will define you as a believer. History will define you as a believer. With the salvation of Peter, history defined him that day. And he knew that the change that took place in his life had to be lived out. If we're all to be honest in here this morning, and we examine our life just from this week, or maybe just from yesterday, our answer would probably be, no, I haven't lived out the Christian life that I'm called to. History defines you as a believer. Salvation is not just getting saved to get your get out of hell free card. So often that's what many people do. That's all they accept, and that's all they want. And I thank God that they're saved. I thank God that their destination has been changed from hell to heaven, but I feel so sorry for them because they're not seeking to have a relationship with the Lord. So it's not just a get out of hell free card. It's more than that. So they get that get out of hell free card and they stop. They might come to church every once in a while, but that's all they need. That's all they care for. That's all they want. History will define you as a believer. If that is you, then you are blind. You are blind. And you're not following God's will. History will define you. What is taking place in your life is this. And I know this is Sunday school. I understand. I'm trying to teach us something here. But what is this taking place in your life? You're saying your will in your life is more important than the will of God. History will define you as a believer. History will define you as a believer. And with that being said, you are missing out on having a great relationship with your Lord. You're missing out on those things. To give you an illustration, we have members in our families. Every single one of us, big or small, we have members in our families. But you don't really know them. And you miss out on becoming close to them. You might not go to family reunions because you say, well, they're distant relatives. We don't have much in common. Even though we have the same last name, even though we're related by blood, we stay away from those things. You know, that's how we treat God. You know, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night is a family reunion. And we miss out on those things. We miss out on getting to know people. History will define you as a believer. History defines you that day you accepted the Lord as your Savior. I love how Peter puts it here in verse number 1. Let's read this. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's saying here, your faith is precious. And that precious faith did this for you, and it did this for me. It made us righteous in the eyes of God. Before our faith, we were unrighteous. Before our faith, our unrighteousness kept us from Him. It kept us from pursuing a relationship with Him. But our precious faith was able to make us righteous before the eyes of God. With that faith, we have received so many things in life that we are to live by, and also things that God allows us to experience personally. Our faith that day gave us an inheritance that we didn't have before. History defined us on that day of our salvation. The 25th of April of 1986 defined me that day. It separated me from the world and gave me a relationship to pursue with God that I never had before. We are now aware that God gives us some things. And let's read this. Verse number 4, let's pick it up. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence. Here's what we are to do with our faith. Add to your faith virtue. and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He also gives us grace back in verse number 3. He gives us grace. He gives us peace. And it multiplies daily in our lives. We are able through this to see his divine power working. And through this, his knowledge has called us to glory and to virtue. His promises are given to us, no longer damned to eternal hell. Instead, we have a mansion that has been added to the home of the Father. But there's so much more that you and I need to accomplish on this earth as a believer. I just gave you a list from verses 5 through verse number 8. That list that we are to accomplish. That list that we are to live by. That list that will define you as a believer. 20 years ago, we saw a change in our country that defined us as Americans. We see it here again. It defined us as Americans again with another thing that's come up. But history defines you as a believer. Let me ask you a question. If you're to pass from this world today, what will people say about you? Will they say that he was a man or a woman that added to his faith virtue, temperance, patience, godliness, kind-heartedness, charity? How will it define you? Or will they say, I have no clue. I couldn't tell you about their walk with God. I never seen it lived out. I've never seen the experiences. I've never seen fruit. They were unbarren. History will define you as a believer. You might be saying this morning, Chad, you've been pretty serious this morning. I believe every time we step into God's house, we need to be serious. I truly, honestly do. We go throughout the week, and we can probably care less what happens to the people that are around us. Probably not even having an urge to go give them a gospel tract. Maybe not even having an urge to share with them what Jesus has done in your life. History will define you as a believer. Now, you might fall into two different categories here. You might fall into the category of what I just talked about in verses 5 through 8, or you might fall in the category where you're not talked about. But history will define you as a believer. Let's close with this verse. Verse number 9. But He, throw a word in there. And I know we're not supposed to add or take away from God's word. But when you look at the word he, put you in there. Or you can say me. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, look at these next four words. I've never really paid attention to it until this weekend. And here they are. Ye shall never fall. You know why we have so many backslidden believers? You want to know why we have so many people that fall? It's because of this. We're not doing it. We're not practicing it. We're not living it. History will define you as a believer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the truth of your word. God, I pray, I know the lesson is over, and I know we're going to fellowship, and I know we're going to go into the next hour, and Brother Rice is going to give us a tremendous message. I know these things, Lord. But God, I pray that this message would not go away in our hearts and our mind. God, I pray that you would help us, every single one of us, to see what we need to do on a daily basis to keep improving our lives for you. I've looked at this list. I've read this list, and God, I failed in so many areas. And I know I need improvement. God, I need your help. I need your strength in my life daily. God, I pray that you would continue to remind us every single day of what we're supposed to do. Peter said it very well. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to keep bringing it up until you do what you need to do. God, thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for always pushing us in the right direction. And God, I can't get over these words. The grace and peace that you give us is multiplied in our lives daily. We thank you this morning. We love you because you first loved us. In your name, amen.